friend, over the past 13 episodes in this Above All Else Lent series, we've addressed a number of potential idols to let go of that many of us struggle with in both life and business. Our busyness, our comfort and control, our self-sufficiency, our people-pleasing, our success in work, our security and wealth, our stuff and dwelling, our body image and appearance, our relationships expectations, our passions and pleasure, our perfectionism. Have you noticed a common thread that ties them all together as things that can easily blur the line between a good thing and a God thing? I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with where you look. In this last episode of the series, we're not going to add one more idol to the list, because undoubtedly, there will be other ways that you are tempted to misdirect your worship towards something other than God. So instead, we're going to look at the three tools God already gave us as His daughters to not only dethrone our current idols, but also to keep an undivided heart that loves Him above all else for the rest of our lives. Are you ready to pick up these tools with me today? Good, because girl, you and me both got some idols to get off and keep off the thrones of our hearts. Hey, busy lady, trying to juggle all the things in midlife and business. I see you. Are you tired of feeling like you're constantly on the hamster wheel, doing all the things you've been told are required to grow a successful business? Are you ready to slow down the pace of life and focus your time on what's really necessary to experience abundant fruitfulness this year? Are you desiring to finally stop second-guessing, people-pleasing, box-checking, and multitasking, and instead have a way of building a business that is life-giving, not sucking the life out of you? Friend, you are not just building a business. You are pursuing the purpose God has for your life, to glorify Him in all you do. So let me invite you to the most heart, calendar, and should-do list shaping virtual event of the year for Christian women, solo, and entrepreneurs who are ready to ditch random busyness in exchange for faithful fruitfulness in both life and business, and who are doing it with clarity, confidence, and consistency, even in the midst of the chaos of midlife. It's called CEO's Declutter Should-Dos 3-Day Workshop Series, and it's happening live April 9 through 11. Inside this exclusive workshop series, you're going to discover my With God business model, how to get clarity on your mission by crafting a With God vision, confidence in your messaging by laying a With God foundation, consistency in your motivation by building With God plans, and calm in your messy midlife by balancing a With God life. This is how women who know who they are and whose they are do business, in full assurance of faith and true partnership with God. If you're looking to see a return on the investment of your time and resources that's no longer a meager yield, but an abundant harvest, if you're tired of listening to the world's gurus that tell you have to do all the things to please a fictitious avatar and mysterious algorithm, if you're ready to lay down what keeps you from fully turning off so you can truly rest and still grow your impact and income, if you've decided with God that this is the year you're going all in for His glory, without worrying about everyone else's permission, persuasion, or perception, then I want to invite you to redeem your time and your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series now, and access special early bird bonuses like my brand new CEO's Foundational Decisions Guide to walk you through 3 key decisions you must make as a CEO with God before you build any further. So, if you're looking for a faith-centered system with truth-based support to ensure your business is well-built, as well as your life, all you need to do is go to redeemhertime.com/declutter to RSVP for the workshop. And I'll see you in your inbox with all the details, plus your free bonus guide. Hey friend, we've been talking about a lot of things that can distract our lives from God throughout this series. And I don't know about you, but I find it's easy to quickly fall into having a divided heart when it comes to my business too. We listen to this speaker, that trainer, this other expert, another guru, and soon we feel like we should be on all the platforms, saying all the right words, building all the things all at once. And just like a confused mind does nothing or wastes a lot of time trying to figure it all out, a distracted heart does nothing too. Because either it wastes time trying to go in a million directions all at once, so nothing gets enough of your attention long enough to see the growth and fruit, or that Court of Haagen-Dazs, that new series on Netflix, or even that basket of clothes to be folded looks better in the moment. And wouldn't the enemy like to keep us distracted and divided? Because then we're no threat to his kingdom, because we're not building God's either. We are just trying to keep our own from falling apart. But distracted and divided is not how CEOs, Christ-empowered operators, approach their business. We first get rid of all the distractions around us and inside us, aka the should-dos. Then we get quiet with God, our chairman of the board, the one who ultimately directs our steps and keeps us aligned with his kingdom mission. So that way we can get clear with what he's called us to and what he's equipped us to do to serve through our business. And then we can get consistent to stick with what matters and ditch the guilt trips, the comparison games, the maybe if I do this one more thing plans, so we can finally focus our attention where he has called us to go. I'm just going to warn you, it may hurt a little to cut away all the excess, and it may feel like things look a little bare for a bit. But just as the vine that the vine dresser prunes each year, when that life source, his spirit, flows through the vine, the leaves start budding, then opening, and the fruit starts producing, then ripening, and before you know it, you have a way more abundant harvest than when there were too many branches taking up all the nutrients. You see, a few years ago, God had a lot of cutting away to do in my business, of the things I thought I should do that I was hanging onto like a dog with a bone for way too long. But when I finally let go of my plans and let him prune what was unnecessary and then got rooted in him, girl, he's filled me up so that way I can pour out in a way that's exponentially increased both my impact and my income, and that makes my business look, well, unrecognizable in a good way. No longer is it all leaves with little to no fruit. It's the right amount of leaves with abundant fruit. And I'm consistently seeing growth as long as I don't go back to trying to add all the things back into my business and trust his plan and timing for me. So if you are tired of being stuck in the start-stop cycle or constantly adding more things to your plate in your business because you think you should, I want to invite you to grab a free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series happening April 9th through 11th at redeemhertime.com/declutter. Not only will you get 3 days of live training with biblical truth and time management tools, you also get access to me as your life and business time management and growth strategist coach for the week. And I just may have a few bonus surprises up my sleeve. Plus, you'll be invited into my exclusive community for faith-centered CEOs who want to ditch the world's advice on building a business with hustle and hurry to embrace God's direction on growing a business from rest and trust. Doesn't that sound like something you could stay consistent with? If so, let me pour into you for 3 days and let's see what decluttering your should-dos makes space for in your life and business. All you need to do is grab your free ticket so that way you can join us live each day or get the replay in your inbox. And either way, have the opportunity to ask your questions and get coaching around what should stay and what should go on your should-do, don't list. Ultimately, it's up to you as the CEO of your with God business. But sometimes we need someone to show us the way. That's what I'm here for. And I can't wait to see if you are here for it too. You just got to raise your hand by going to redeemhertime.com/declutter to grab your free ticket and get the free early bird bonus guide, 3 CEO foundational decisions to get your heart centered with God on what matters most in your business. And then together we'll create an undivided heart that listens to his voice and loves him above all else in all that you do. Speaking of decluttering your heart, I hope that by this point in the series, whether you've been on with me since episode 216 for all 14 episodes, or this is your first one, that you walk away not feeling burdened by the weight of guilt around all the idols of the heart that you've been carrying, but instead feeling freedom from the weight of release of what's been distracting, aka dividing, your heart. Let's be honest, the battle for your heart and mine will go on until we get to heaven. Because just when we think we've discovered another lesser thing we're giving our time, attention, and affection to, and dethrone it, another one seems to turn our heart in its direction, away from God, the one who wants to be on the throne. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that no matter what seeks after your attention, or what you seek after, thinking it will fulfill and satisfy you more than God, you are equipped with all that you need to turn from idols at any time. Friend, it's never too late. So today, we're going to look at three specific tools that He's already given us to think preventatively and practically about dethroning idols and loving Him with all of our heart. But first, let's go back to the Old Testament and look at how these people, the children of Israel, had the same tools, but they didn't use them, and they suffered the consequences of their idolatrous hearts. Now, if you grew up Jewish like Jesus, you would be well acquainted with the Shema. It's a centerpiece of their daily prayers. It starts with an affirmation of God's singularity and kingship, and whose daily recitation is regarded by traditionally observant Jews as a biblical commandment. The first verse of the Shema is considered the most essential declaration of the Jewish faith, that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The passage that follows details the ways in which that faith should be lived, and then what will happen if God's commands are heeded, and if they are not. And the third part focuses on tangible reminders, the ritual fringes that serve as a reminder of God's presence and which are worn by many Orthodox men at all times. So when Jesus was asked by a Pharisee to test him in Matthew 22:36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He responded, "With love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." Notice the undistracted, undivided heart. You see, Jesus knew scripture well, and he often quoted from Deuteronomy, this time from chapter 6, which were the exact instructions God had given the children of Israel through his servant Moses about not having a divided heart. You see, his children, the Israelites, had just come from Egypt, where there were over, get this, 2,000 deities to keep happy if you wanted things to go well for you and your family. Talk about distraction. The Egyptian hearts were very divided, and for good reason, because each god oversaw different aspects of life. So often, it was required to sacrifice to multiple gods for one seemingly singular request. But that's not how the one true God of Israel works. He is the only one, and he oversees it all. So he reminded them first that they were to love and worship him above all else in Deuteronomy 6. I want to invite you to turn there with me now, because we're going to read a chunk of scripture in context. And while you're opening up your Bible or your Bible app, let me connect all of this together. This section of scripture is the main basis of the Shema I mentioned earlier. So let's start with verses 4-5. Do you have it in front of you? Or ready to listen? This is also the first verse of the Shema that was recited not only daily at morning and evening prayer, but also at the climactic moment of the final prayer of Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, and traditionally as the last words before death. And I love this part. It also is recited with a hand placed over the eyes, as if they are shielding their eyes from looking at other gods. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Next, he instructed them how to live it out with an undivided heart in verses 6-9. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And lastly, he warned them, if they got distracted by looking to and worshiping other gods, aka lesser things, they would no longer be able to be with him. Starting in verse 10, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him only shall you serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Easy enough, right? Just claim he's the only God. Keep his word top of heart and mind all the time. Serve him only and don't look at other gods. Shouldn't be a problem, because I'm sure they didn't want to go back to life in Egypt, where they were not only slaves to the Egyptians, but also to all the gods of the land. But they didn't love God above all else, and they didn't cover their eyes and hearts from looking at and following after other gods, aka lesser things. Because just a few chapters later, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, we read what happened when they forgot, or chose not to believe who God said he was, and thought those other gods didn't look so bad, so what was the harm? Sound kind of like Adam and Eve, who believed the lie of the serpent who got them to question what God really meant, and if he was just trying to keep them from something good? Let's turn to 2 Kings 17, where we'll read back the back end of the story in verses 7 through 20. All right, are you there? In my Bible, it's entitled Exile Because of Idolatry, aka Life Without God. I have a feeling they forgot or chose to disregard Deuteronomy 6. So, as we read, I want you to listen for the pattern of how they went from worshiping the one true God to worshiping idols, aka lesser things. Starting in verse 7. And this, their exile, occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger, and they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers and that I sent to you by my servants and the prophets." Verse 14, but they would not listen, but were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false, and they followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves metal images of two calves. And they made an Asherah and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they burned their sons and daughters as offerings and used divination and omens and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Judah and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only, which you would think was good news. But verse 19 says, Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. Did you hear it? They stopped worshiping God, started fearing other gods, and then started walking in the customs of the nations around them. It started out subtle, at least in their minds, as they did secretly against the Lord things that were not right, as if he didn't know. But then they went public by building actual structures in their towns and their countryside, just like the pagan nations around them, and just like God told them not to do. But God didn't just turn his back. He sent his prophets to warn them to turn away from their evil ways and back to him. But they wouldn't listen. They stopped believing and rejected his word and went after those false idols. No longer were they the victims, but the perpetrators. And then they made calves and built Asherah poles and worshiped Baal, the worst of all the other gods. And as if that wasn't enough, they sacrificed their children and consulted with evil spirits and sold themselves to evil in God's sight. No wonder he was a little angry. It wouldn't have mattered if they worshiped him plus all the other gods or just the other gods. They had distracted, divided, and destructive hearts. And so he removed his presence from them, just like he had said back in Deuteronomy, so they could see the futility of their idols to save them. It reminds me of the progression of sin in James 1, verses 14 through 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. The same as in the Garden of Eden. First, we look at something other than God. Then we desire something other than God. Then we worship something other than God. Then we experience separation from God. Yes, there were consequences, but it was for their good to one day draw their hearts back to him. I'm so glad that God did not leave us there, that he sent his son to be the way to bring our hearts back from worshiping lesser things, aka our sin, back to worshiping him as the only God in our life, just like he intended it. Like we talked about on our last episode, 228, none of us, no matter how hard or long we try, can ever do that on our own. We would just be wasting our time because our sinful hearts will always be drawn back to the idols we see around us that we think will do something else for us. But thankfully, Christ was that perfect sacrifice who in a moment opened a way to the with God life through trusting in him alone for our salvation. Otherwise, you and me, we'd still be out there just like the Israelites and just like a lot of people around us, wandering in the wilderness, looking for every shiny object we think will fulfill us, when all along, God is calling us to himself, to worship him and him alone. Not because he's jealous in a selfish way, but because he knows that he is the only one who can ever fill that God-shaped hole in our heart. But we still have hearts that are drawn away by all the shiny objects we see around us. So, once we recognize him as the one true God and declare our desire to worship him alone, how do we keep our hearts from wandering away because they're distracted and divided? Well, I'm so glad you asked. He has given us the same three tools he gave the children of Israel to both correct our divided words and to prevent them from getting distracted. So that way, we can love and worship him above all else. That, my friend, is the best use of time on this earth and what we will do with all of our time for eternity. So, are you ready to jot these three down? It's simple. His scripture, his spirit, and our sisters. First, his scripture. Sure, they didn't have the entire Old and New Testament, but it wasn't like the children of Israel didn't have God's word. In fact, because of their oral tradition and lack of access to written words, they had it memorized. But they sure didn't know it or keep those words on their hearts at all times, like he told them in Deuteronomy 6. But we too can read scripture, even daily, and still not know it or keep it close, opening us up to be easily deceived by the lesser things around us that promise what we think we need or want and ultimately are only what God can give. Scripture not only helps us identify our misbeliefs about God and how he calls us as his daughters to live, it gets into the thoughts and motivations of our heart and keeps us from trusting in other things. How did Jesus fight back when Satan tried to tempt him to worship something other than God? With scripture. Because God's word reminds us of truth when we're about to accept something else as a quick fix. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You see, most of all, scripture helps us to know God more and cultivate a deeper love for God above all else. Second, we have his spirit. Now, technically, the children of Israel did not have the Holy Spirit because he only came to dwell in believers after Christ died, rose from the dead, and went back into heaven. But they did have his messengers, lots of them, in the form of prophets, all of whom they ignored, probably because they thought they were having fun playing around with other gods and didn't want to go back to what they thought was a boring only one God. But their pleasure didn't last long, And you'd think they would have wished they had listened to those he sent. But wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. And don't ever look back or think twice until it's too late. But we have his messenger in the form of the Holy Spirit, the part of the Trinity that is with us until we are with him in heaven for all eternity. And the role of the Spirit, just like the prophets, is to convict us in our idolatry. You see, just like the Israelites who could not see their own hearts clearly, we need the Holy Spirit to expose the idols in our hearts, because ours aren't as blatant as a golden calf or a temple or a tower, but they are just as sinful. This, my friend, is the transforming work of the gospel, where hearts of sinners like you and like me are turned from the wickedness of lesser things back to the righteousness of a perfect God. We don't and can't do it alone, but we have his Spirit to point out any misplaced worship in our lives, to convict us, and to uncover our hidden motives, no matter the cost. Are we in tune to his Spirit? Third, we have our sisters, aka the body of Christ. You see, the children of Israel did too. And if they would have kept following their godly leaders like Moses and Joshua and Caleb, and if they had taken the time to lovingly correct one another when they saw their family member or a friend or a neighbor looking away from God at lesser things, maybe they could have avoided a lot of pain and the separation they experienced from God. Except maybe it was inevitable, because sinful hearts will always at some point turn away. While no one can keep us from sin or idolatry, we do that just fine on our own when we are intentionally connected to a community in which we are reminded by one another of who God is and how we are to live in light of that. We can certainly avoid a lot of wasted time wandering away again and again, because we have others to lovingly and truthfully redirect us. You see, on our own, we are vulnerable to unseen attacks or to letting our idolatry continue because we think it's being done in secret. But in community, where we are safe to confess our struggles and share our vulnerabilities, we will find the support we need through prayer, shared burdens, and reminders of truth. I love that God is so purposeful in providing us with community to help us love him above all else. So what community are you intentionally connected to? For sure, get involved in a local church, and not just being a Sunday morning attender, but get into deeper discipleship through small groups or Bible study or mentoring. And if you're a busy Christian woman, struggling to juggle all the things in midlife and business, and wanting to love God in all you do above all else, may I give a shameless plug for the Redeem Her Time community? Some of the women I'm closest to are because of the conversations we have inside this group about things just like this and how we support one another in pursuing God in both our life and business. So if you'd like to have women around you that are not going to distract you from worshiping God, like many of the other things you find in your social feed and groups, come join us on a platform off social where your heart will only be directed towards him in the way you use your time in both your life and business. You can find us at redeemhertime.com/community. And before we end, I will share today's community question like I always do, so stay with me. As a quick summary, in case you're multitasking or you're like me and need to hear it again, the key to putting God first with an undivided heart and worship him above all else is to not look at yourself or around at others, but instead look to him alone and use the three tools he's given us in his word, his Spirit, and our sisters to help you correct your heart when it strays and keep it looking in the right direction when the world around you tries to get your attention. And here's what I've noticed. When I look to him first, there's so much of him that it fills my heart and mind, and then there's no room for lesser things. That's how we ought to live, continually acknowledging his righteous rule and his rightful reign in our hearts, where our worship goes from self-centered or other-centered to God-centered. Thanks to the More Than Anything study from the Daily Grace Co. that inspired a lot of this series. So to wrap things up, I want to read this quote from their chapter called Turning from Idols, Loving God More Than Anything. Here's what it says. Our greatest hope for turning from idolatry is loving God more than anything else. He is the one who fills our every longing. He is the one who satisfies our every need. He is the one who gives us purpose in this life. He is the one who keeps his promises. He is the one who sustains us from birth to death. What other God could contend? Answer, none. So may we long for no one else, nothing else but God. And may he prove time and time again why he is more worthy of our worship than any lesser thing. Friend, before we go, here is one last set of reflection questions on lesser things, aka idols of your heart. Are you ready? Number one, how has your understanding of idolatry been shaped and transformed by this study? Number two, what practical ways did you find helpful for the fight against idolatry in your life? And three, how can your life and business reflect that you love God above all else? And when you come inside the Redeemer Time community, I'll share the Daily Grace Co. list of 17 idolatry diagnostic questions to help you think through potential idols in your life, so that way you can dethrone them with the help of His Scripture, His Spirit, and our sisters. This season of Lent, as my good friend Megan Nilsson just reminded me on episode 51 of the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast, it's not just about laying things down for a 40-day period leading up to Easter. Here's what she says. Lent is about turning from our own way, wanting to be our own little God, to be in control of everything, and turning back toward Jesus. An invitation to be in relationship with God and other people. In the midst of the brokenness and mystery of it all, a time to free you from your obsession with yourself and help you know the freedom and joy of putting your trust in Jesus. Amen, Megan. So, here is today's community question. What is one tool you will use, Scripture, Spirit, or our sisters, to help you look to Him and love Him above all else in your life or business? Come on over inside the Redeemer Time community and let's continue this journey of laying down our lesser things and turning back to a with God life together. You can find us at redeemhertime.com/community. And if you want a deeper level of supporting and loving God above all else with how you spend your time in both life and business, such that you build kingdom fruit and He gets the glory because others' eyes are pointed towards Him rather than the lesser things around us that promise the world but underdeliver, be sure to grab your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's, happening in just over a week, April 9th through 11th, at redeemhertime.com/declutter. And don't worry, I'll drop the link in the show notes. Before we pray, I trust this Lent series has indeed helped you to turn back to worshiping and loving God above all else. Tomorrow is Good Friday. Good, because even in the darkness and pain of Christ's death on the cross, and the Father removing His presence from Him in that moment, when all of our sin and idolatry was on Him, followed by Holy Saturday, in which His body lay in the tomb, waiting for the promised third day, Resurrection Sunday, when He rose from the dead and forever proved He is the one and only God who can bring life back to our dead, sinful hearts. In Him, we now have life and can live with God, both in this life and, better yet, with Him forever in eternity, where we will never again be tempted to turn our eyes or hearts to lesser things. Hallelujah! He is risen. He is risen indeed. If you don't know Jesus as more than just a good teacher, but as your personal Savior and Lord, I invite you to reach out to me, either in the community or by text, email, phone. I'd love to share the good news of the gospel that will reshape your heart and calendar so that you worship Him in all that you do in life and business. I can't think of a better way to head into this Easter weekend than to come before the one it's all about in prayer. Dear Father God, You are the Lord our God. You are one. We desire to love You with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And we desire to have Your words on our hearts and talk of them when we sit and we walk, when we lie and we rise. We don't just want them written on the walls or on our wrists. We want them written on our hearts. And we confess that just like the children of Israel, we are prone to forget and to reject You and turn our hearts to the lesser things that we see in the world around us. Show us where we are worshiping something other than You. Remind us through Scripture who You are and who You call us to be as Your daughters. Convict us by Your Spirit in the areas we still need to let go so that You get our undivided time, attention, and affection. Counsel us through our sisters who are on this journey to loving You in all we do, until one day we are with You for all of eternity. And this Easter, may it not be lost on us that You sacrificed Your one and only Son to rescue us wanderers who continue to turn away to lesser gods. Thank You for who You are, for Your good gifts, for Your hand in all things, and for Your Son's sacrifice for us. May we be so full of You that there's no room for lesser things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, friend. I'll see you over inside the Redeem Her Time community, where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode. Until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women, just like you, find real life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.